Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Marymeadow Podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler. Today's episode, we're going to talk about ranunculus. So again, I am in zone 4B, central Minnesota, and our winters get pretty cold, although this winter was pretty mild for us. However, it did dip down to below zero for a solid week later in January, sometime February, something like that. So I planted ranunculus last year. So I'm going to talk about what I did last year, what I did this year, and what I'm going to do next year. Last year, I feel like was a better success than this year, but it was equally as successful this year, but it should have been triple the amount of success. And I'll explain that in a minute. So I have another episode, and I think it came out April of 2023, all about growing ranunculus in zone 4B. Maybe it came out in June, actually. I think it came out in June of 2023 last year. So I have an episode about that, so you can go back and listen. And that was the first time that I grew it. So I have a high tunnel. I say this over and over again. I have so many local people that are like, I keep trying to grow it and I can't. Well, I just don't think in Minnesota you could grow it without a high tunnel. And, you know, maybe you can get lucky certain years and use a low tunnel, but it's hard. At least not at any volume to actually use it as a cut flower consistently in your business. Now, I think that, you know, you could do it in pots, bring it in and out, but, you know, you definitely need the high tunnel piece to regulate it. So last year, I pre-sprouted on March 1st. I planted them in seed trays, and I can't remember if I put them in individual cells or not, but going forward, I definitely would not put them in individual cells. It just dries them out and they don't need it. You just need that corm to get little roots so that you can put it in the ground. It's not like another plant where you need that surrounding dirt to plant it in, if that makes sense. You don't even need any green above the soil level. You just need them to start growing roots and then you can transplant them out. That's all it means, is pre-sprouting them, not growing them under lights for a while. You definitely can do that if you don't have an option and if you have a low tunnel. But for me, pre-sprouting means literally just starting sprouts. Now, what I did last year was I pre-sprouted them on March 1st and then around March 20th, I planted them in my high tunnel and I had blooms by May 27th last year, and they were done by about June 10th. So I only had plants for about 2 weeks last year, but they were all really good. They were large corm size. They were large flowers, and I had buckets and I had big dreams, and I only grew in about a third to half of the tunnel last year. So I was going to fill the whole tunnel this year. And I thought I would have 2 to 3 times as many flowers. And that is not what happened. But next year will be different. So this year I decided to try to overwinter them. And it worked successfully. And I am maybe going to do it again. But I don't think so. I think I could. I think anyone that's listening to this, I think you could do it. But I'll explain why I'm not going to. So last year, I saved all of the corms. I allowed them to die back naturally, which right now, as I'm recording this episode, it's June 7th, and my ranunculus are starting to die. So I've had flowers for about 3 weeks now, which in an ideal situation, I would get them for like more like 4 to 6 weeks. But 3 weeks is still profitable enough for me in that space in the high tunnel. But we had a really cloudy April. So what I did last year was 1.5 times the high tunnel I pre-sprouted last October. And I didn't start them in trays. So I soaked them and then put them directly in the dirt in the high tunnel. They did great, except for the fact that they were ones that I had saved. So I let them die back naturally last year. So in July, when they were completely yellow and dead and brown and the leaves were dying, I let them completely die back naturally. And then I just threw them in a cardboard box and put them in my garage, not my house garage, one of the random sheds that we have, and let them sit there until fall, forgot about them. They're shriveled up. Then I soaked them and planted them. Now, probably a third of them died, and I kept them covered all winter, and I will go into very much more detail on how I did that in a little bit, but probably a third of them died. And where I made this mistake and not thinking about what this would look like is the fact that I saved everything and planted them. And it's kind of like, imagine a gladiola. I wouldn't say it's like a dahlia, because with a dahlia, the new tubers are great and everything is equal. Whereas a gladiola, the new bulbs are tiny. And that's how it is with ranunculus. So if you're going to save them, save the big one and either get rid of the rest, throw them out, or gift them for a hobby gardener, or plant them in pots or something. So I think it's worth it to save it, but you can only save the original corm, the new corms that it creates to multiply your stock. They were, well, I'm just going to swear here. They were those stems were and they were the early ones that I had. And they were the ones that I had for my subscription holders, because subscription holders get them first. So it was kind of a bust, but my customers understand because I brought them with along the journey and they got more tulips. And then they got, you know, some of them, I had them wait a week so they could get better ranunculus, but it was really frustrating for me because it's not how it was supposed to go. So when you buy corms from a wholesaler or from, you know, wherever you buy them, and that's why you don't want to buy them just from a big box store. So spoiler alert, I will be selling corms in the fall. So you can buy them directly off my website if you only want, you know, 20 or even 100 or whatever. And so stay tuned for that. So when you buy ranunculus, they are priced based on the corm size. So the corm is based on centimeters. So the bigger the corms, the more flowers you're going to get, the stronger stems, just the better it's going to be. So you want to start with a big corm size. Well, these brand new ones, these little itty bitty babies were shit, and I didn't think about that. So will I save my corms this year? I think so. So right now it's June 7th. Stuff is starting to die back. I am going to let them die back naturally, put them in a box, put them away, and then hopefully the beginning of July, I am going to plant a cover crop in that tunnel, and I'm just going to let it grow and it'll be nice and happy, and because we need to implement some soil health inside my high tunnel. So I'm going to grow a cover crop in there, let it just be tall, and then we will bring the lawnmower in there, because remember, my high tunnel has the zipper end, so I can fit a tractor, I can fit a lawnmower in there. So I am going to let a cover crop grow in there. I will cut it down probably early September. I'm thinking 6 to 7 weeks is sufficient. I'm going to have cover crop Colin back on here. But if you are wondering about cover crops, I have an episode from the beginning of January 2024 all about cover crops. But I'm going to grow a cover crop in there, and then probably early September, I will mow it down, let the grass clippings just be there. And it's not grass, it's like buckwheat or whatever it ends up being. And then I will put a silage tarp on there, plastic with cinder blocks on top of it, for a good 6 weeks. And I will completely kill everything in there. And then I can plant, tulips will go into that high tunnel. So it'll be a good little rotation, get some soil health back in there, so that when the tulips are done next spring, I will plant the lisianthus and those flowers in there. Maybe even, you know, some stock or some early flowering stuff, because I want stuff to go along with my peonies and my ranunculus. So that's one big change I'm making next year. Is I was trying to get the tulip or the ranunculus to bloom by Mother's Day this year, and I just don't think that's going to consistently happen. We had such a mild winter, and I still didn't have them until the week after Mother's Day, and I just don't know that that's ever going to happen around here. We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter, because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. So this year, I overwintered half of them, and that process looked like building low tunnels inside of the high tunnel. And then I had the same like leftover poly that I have on the regular high tunnel. It comes in 100-foot rolls, and we only had 50-foot tunnels. And so I put the same plastic on the low tunnels inside of there, and then it was just like a cover uncover. I left them in there. I left it covered for weeks at a time. I wouldn't check on it. I didn't water them unless it was going to be above freezing consistently. So there were a good 6 weeks where I didn't water them at all. And sometimes I would open up the sides of the high tunnel, or I would go inside and just take off the low tunnel. And my high tunnels have zipper ends on one end, so it can completely open on south end. And on the north end, it has Dutch doors. So that was really nice because some of those 20-degree days, all I had to do was open up the top door or the top half of the Dutch door, and that would cool it down enough in there. Because it's not like I wanted those ranunculus to get above, 50. But I just wanted to keep the ground from freezing. That was the goal. And then I kept them uncovered. If it was going to consistently be above 23 at night, I left them uncovered. I would take that plastic off during the day of the low tunnel and I would leave it off. So the months of March and April were a lot of cover uncover with the low tunnel, but it was fine. It really wasn't that big of a deal because I had the three low tunnels in a row and I had one big sheet of plastic so I could just keep moving it and it only took me about 5 minutes to do. So it wasn't that big of a deal. Now, the other 1.5 rows, I soaked and planted directly in the ground on February 1st. And again, that ground in the tunnel, I also had covered with the plastic. So even if I did spring planting, I would still cover it because I want that soil to be warmer come February. I don't want to wait until February and say, oh, it's time to plant them and here the ground is frozen. So I would keep that, slightly warmer. And then I planted those corms February 1st directly into the ground. And then the first ranunculus bloomed about May 16th of those spring planted ones. So I planted them a month earlier and I only got, 11 days sooner. So I planted them 30 days sooner and I only got flowers 11 days sooner. That was disappointing and frustrating because I was hoping for flowers around May 1st because they say, 30 days and I wanted them by Mother's Day, but April was too cold and it wasn't going to happen. So I think what I'm going to do next year, I will probably try to overwinter maybe a half a row just to have a handful here and there, not for subscriptions, but for May weddings, just to have some. I'll probably do some white or yellow or pink because a lot of people, white is always a safe color and the yellows and pinks are a good, a good bet for a May wedding. So I think I will put those in there just like a half a row to try to overwinter some, but I will use big, lovely brand new corms rather than saving the old ones. If I do save these old ones in July, we'll just see what I'm thinking a month from now. We'll see how they look. I'll dig up the plants. I'll put them in a box. Maybe I'll just give them as gifts to like my subscription holders. Like, here you go. You can try. Good luck. we'll see how it happens. But, you know, if I can divide them pretty easy and I can tell which ones are the big ones, maybe I'll plant the big ones for myself. And the reason that I wanted to save the corms with this overwintering experience was because I wanted to, in case they died, I didn't have a lot of money stuck into them. So that was helpful. I also think that even though I try not to touch things twice, if I am fall planting, if I am fall sprouting, yes, soak them in water and put them directly into the ground in the high tunnel. You really don't need to sprout them up. However, here in Minnesota, February 1st, I think if I had put them in trays of warmer dirt and warmed them up a little bit, they would have kickstarted a little bit sooner and I would have had flowers sooner. So next year, if I have 3 50-foot rows, I'm only going to do about a half a row, but I'll make it pretty thick and I'm going to overwinter some with some good big quality corms to overwinter. And if they die, they die, but at least, you know, the gamble might pay off and I want to have it all covered anyway for warm soil. And then probably even January 15th, I will start them in trays of dirt, not individual cell trays, but like the bottom base, or, you know, where the whole tray has just moist dirt in it. I can put, you know, a couple hundred of them in there because they literally just need roots. They don't need flowers. They don't need, you know, you don't need to transplant them. You're literally just taking the corm out and putting it in the new dirt. You're not taking the surrounding dirt around it and the plant, and, you know, you don't need to grow them under grow lights. At least I'm not going to. That seems really inefficient for me. And, you know, if I need to keep them in there a little bit longer, if there's a cold snap coming up, that's fine. And then I will transplant them out, or I will put the corms out. I keep saying transplant, but really it's taking the pre-sprouted corms and putting them in the dirt in the other essentially 2.5 rows. So if there are 3 50-foot rows, I'm going to plant half of them just as an overwinter experiment again to have some earlier flowers in May. And then if these don't bloom until, you know, May 20th again, that's fine because they last a couple weeks in the cooler. Not a couple weeks, I would say 10 days. I got about 10 days in the cooler. I went 7 days in the cooler before I would use them, but that's about the max I would want because next year I'm changing my subscriptions. I'm going to do a 4-week tulip and an optional. So it's either a 4-week spring tulip, just tulips, or an 8-week tulip and early summer. And the early summer will be the peonies, the ranunculus, the blue thistle, feverfew, bupleurum, stock, all of those spring flowers that I have right now. Because I don't have any subscriptions going on right now. I'm just selling bouquets on demand. I will probably make them a little bit bigger and make them $40 a week and only have about 50 to 60 spots, whereas my tulip ones, I have 100 spots. So I think it'll be, you know, there'll be 50 just tulips and 50 tulips and early summer. So I'll have a total of 100 of those tulip ones and then 50 of the summer ones. And then we'll just see how it goes. But I'm pushing the ranunculus back. I can take a couple week break between my spring subscriptions and then when my ranunculus start. So I think, honestly, I think it's totally doable. If it was going to be a colder winter, there's a lot of things I could have done for warming up the ranunculus. I considered putting some straw on top of them. I could have had a layer of frost cloth and then the poly. I didn't have the low tunnel hoops built. You guys, I just had plastic laying on top of them. Like, I had plastic touching the plants. And everyone's like, don't let anything touch the plants. Like, when it was 0 degrees, there was plastic and condensation and they were fine. I think these things are a lot hardier than we give them credit for. And I definitely think that the more you expose them, the more they can tolerate. If they're used to being babied and it's always 60 degrees and all of a sudden you get a cold snap of 20, they're not going to like it. But if they're used to 25 to 40 and it dips down, they're going to be just fine. There were times I went out there and they were frozen. They did not look good. They were frozen and they came back. They were fine. So I think, you know, giving them that benefit of the doubt, but I think more than anything, I would worry about them drying out without enough moisture in there because I was hesitant to water them because I didn't want the corms or I didn't want the ground to freeze because the corms would rot. So I think that would be the more so worry than the leaves freezing is the corms drying out without enough water. So again, I am going to try it again. I don't think it's worth it to get the extra week or two out of them to do the whole tunnel that way. But we'll see if next year, the ones that I started in the winter, if I only use the biggest, plumpest, healthiest corms to overwinter, and if they're a solid flush, heck yeah, I'm going to do it again. Because also it's going to be mid-January and I'll know like, well, that worked or that didn't. And I can always just plant new ones. I can always plant new ones. That's how it goes. I don't use landscape fabric inside of the high tunnel. I have drip lines in there. I have a permanent hydrant. Again, these are all things, if you're going to grow ranunculus as a crop, I have a whole episode coming out about trying to decide whether or not something is profitable for you. But if you're in a cool place, I definitely think a high tunnel, not just a low tunnel, is important because you can regulate that temperature so much better. And I think having access to water, easy access to water, is incredibly important. I did throw shade cloth on mine around May 20th. I did a big, you know, 12 by 50 foot piece, or it's like 12 by 60, so it overlaps the ends. But having that shade cloth on there definitely prolonged them. I'll probably have another week out of the spring planted ones, but the winter ones are pretty well done. So yeah, I think it's definitely possible. It's definitely possible to grow it as a crop. It's definitely a very profitable crop. It's a very sought after crop. I sold them for $250 a stem, which is entirely, you know, and that unless it's like in an arrangement in a wedding bouquet or something, then obviously my pricing changes because there's so much labor and arranging and consultations that go into it. But when it's just like a market bundle, then I did it as $250 a stem. And a couple people balked at it. And I said, well, I'm sorry that you have ranunculus taste on a carnation budget, but I'm not undercutting the florists, because if I buy it from my wholesaler, it's $23.99 for 10 stems. So it's $240 a stem just for ranunculus in this area. So supply and demand, that's what I'm selling it for. That's what it's worth time and time again. So good luck growing your ranunculus. I would love to see, you know, if you need help, let us know. I think that, so this episode is going to come out on Monday already. Usually I record them a couple weeks ahead of time, but we're kind of getting caught up. So Abby is amazing, my producer, and she's, you know, getting this all put together. But we have got a month from now, Farmer Florist Boot Camp is taking place here, and the flower farmers are going to learn, not necessarily from me on that piece because I'm not the expert on it, but I'm bringing in my friend Jenny. Jenny Beck from the Floral Hustle podcast is going to come, and she has done 1,700 weddings. This week, right now, today's Friday, she's got like 7 weddings this week that she's in charge of. And, you know, I think her minimum for her to like go on site is $4,000, something like that. She does quite a few big weddings, but we're going to talk about implementing a la carte programs. And it just makes sense to really sell those stems at more of a premium price, because that's what the brides are wanting anyway, and they're wanting something different. But when everyone comes to Farmer Florist Boot Camp, so far I think we have 6 people signed up. We're cutting it off at 12, so we're 50% full already. I'm going to put those links in the episode notes, but it's a 2-day boot camp. So on Tuesday, it's a lot of the flower focus. So I'm going to show you guys exactly, like, you know, where I plant what and how I decide it, and it's, you know, hopefully going to be really helpful from the flower farming standpoint too. So thank you so much for listening, and yeah, let's grow and sell some ranunculus. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the Flower Farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.